Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And we're in the process of selling gift cards. So that's the gift that keeps on giving over
Absolutely.
The course of a career, a lifetime, a year, whatever. You can call up and say, I want to buy a gift card. I want to send gift cards to people. They are available as well. Gary Braun is here. Gene McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is running the board.
I think we have a customer walking in.
Fantastic. Well, he may have taken a wrong turn out of the metro.
which
way to the buoy monitor.
Change for a dollar.
Mayor, put him on. What's he doing here?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So we had almost nobody here yesterday, and we have lots of people here today.
Nice. Bounce back game.
Very good. We are at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Streets Northwest. This is our last day this week. Next week, we'll do all 5 days. We'll do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In case you wonder, can you do takeout at Chatter? Martin Wiegand was just here and took food out.
Wow.
Martin Wiegand, a member of Columbia, knows me well enough to know there's no reason to listen to anything I say, so he just left. But we do have takeout. We have Thursday night football on tonight, a very good game. It figures to be a very good game. The Chargers are at the Chiefs.
Ooh,
we are available for parties. We are available, as the intro said, for gift cards. Call Chatter, ask for a manager, ask for Ron first if he's not here. So just give me any manager. I want to buy gift cards. I want to schedule parties.
Manager.
Chatter, we like to party.
We are trying very hard to get this thing above water. We're trying really hard. So there's a lot of sports things I can do and I will do eventually. But I thought, especially because Chris is here, that we could start with something that, when you step back for a second, and this is the story of Michael Cohen, the lawyer Donald Trump. When you just in human terms, you step back for a second on this. This guy's going to jail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know.
Yeah, Pokey. Big house.
He's not getting out at night.
Puskow.
You know, he's going to jail for three years. This guy, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, this guy is probably calling his friends and saying, yeah, did you see me with him? Did you see the plane that we took?
He 100% is doing
that. Did you see the boat that we were on? You know, he's thinking this is the gravy train of all gravy trains. And he's probably thinking 3 years ago, he's probably thinking, why am I reading this guy wants to run for president? That's crazy.
Yep.
Don't run for president. You're a big star. Everybody likes you now. You got TV whenever you want TV. You got everything you want, and I'm right there with you. And he's telling his friends, I would think, his high school guys, his college guys, his relatives, yeah, that's me. That's me in that picture. Yeah, me and Donald, we're pals. This is great. And what do I do? He doesn't need much. He would have a little advice here or there, sign a couple of things, no big deal.
Fix a thing or two.
Channel some money to a woman.
And now he's going to jail.
Yes.
To jail. He could never, ever imagine that 5, 6, 7 years ago. Imagined it last year,
well,
I'm sure.
You
say he couldn't have imagined it. I will remind you, he was an attorney, and however bad of one he may or may not have been, he presumably knew the law. So when he broke it...
Going to jail.
I'm just saying, when he broke it, he had to consider that was maybe a possibility.
Raise your hand if you want to go to jail. No hands are up.
Don't want to go to jail.
Don't want to go to jail. Nobody wants to go to jail.
If you go I'm with Gary. I mean, he is a lawyer, so he's familiar with the law, but
if you go
from the time in April when they raided his house, hotel,
bed,
and office.
Why he had a home and a hotel,
renovating stuff.
Whatever.
Lots of legitimate businesses.
And there were a lot of pictures of him sitting outside with his buddy somewhere in New York with a very nice blazer on.
Yeah.
Smoking cigars and looking like he didn't have a care in the world.
Right.
To walking out of the courtroom yesterday in New York where it literally looked like he had been punched in the groin repeatedly. It was a long road. Yes, no question. Now, that said, he had already pled guilty to 8 criminal counts. So he didn't, I guess he was hoping not to go to jail.
He never thought 5 years ago.
No.
He never thought this was anything but an elevator going up to the penthouse.
Yes. Yeah.
And he was on it, and it was only him and Donald Trump.
And by the
way,
like everyone in that campaign, including the candidate, no one thought he was going to win, even when he was the nominee.
Yeah. Never mind. All right, let me get off that. Let me get into sports. I have rarely been as wrong publicly as I was yesterday when I said on the PTI show, we had the game, What's the Word? And the topic was Raptors at Warriors tonight. And I said tilted all the way towards Golden State. There's no way Toronto can win this game. Can't win it. Toronto's in a back-to-back. They're 5-0 this year in back-to-backs, but they're 3,000 miles from home. It's a back-to-back against the Warriors, who are at full strength.
And no Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard's not playing. Right. Draymond Green and Steph Curry are back. When Draymond Green and Steph Curry are together with Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, they were 11-1. Mm-hmm. And I just thought there's no – and they got crushed.
Yeah.
Toronto beat them down. I don't know. I was
How about
really
a 41-point first half for the Warriors? You see that coming?
No.
41-point quarter.
Sometimes Klay Thompson gets 37 in a quarter.
Right. Here's the starting lineup for the Raptors.
Well, Kyle Lowry.
Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Good player.
He's having a good year.
He's a good player.
Patrick Siakam.
Lowry.
Know.
Kyle Lowry's a good player.
Fred Van Fleet.
Yeah, he's all right.
And Danny Green.
So
that
yeah.
team beat the Warriors by 20.
Beat them by a lot.
Wow. Every one of those players I just said scored in double digits. I mean, that helps. That helps. But I mean, that team is, in terms of star power, Lowry, and I mean, obviously Kawhi, but he's not playing.
Did you figure, Tony, this was one of those games which we see every year in the respective sports where the sort of upstart comes to the standing champ, and the champ just says, yeah, not yet. I mean, we know our records, but I mean, what that's sort of what you saw coming.
I thought it was a 20-point game.
Yeah.
Well, you were right about a 20-point game.
I thought it was 20, but for the Warriors, not right. against
well, the
Warriors.
Well, the Warriors, I mean, that team that started, Draymond, Kevin Durant, Kyle Looney.
Yeah, four All-Stars. Four
Curry,
All-Stars.
Klay Thompson. I mean, that's their team.
Yeah, so that was surprising. Right. Wizards took the Celtics to overtime last night, but they lose. These are now mirror images, except for the flat Earth thing, you know, except for that. They're the same team except in the other side. Celtics have won six. Celtics are 17-10. Wizards are now 11-17. Mm-hmm. Celtics are led by Kyrie Irving, had 38, had some great threes in the overtime. In fact, scored the last 12 Celtics points in the overtime. John Wall had great numbers. John Wall had 34 points and 13 assists, but didn't win. The Celtics won this game without Al Horford, mm-hmm. without Jaylen Brown, without Gordon Hayward.
Correct.
The Wizards had no Otto Porter, but they're never going to have Dwight Howard. He's never going to play
anymore. Well, right, yeah.
So he doesn't really matter. He doesn't really matter. And the Celtics started out 10-10 this year. They started badly. The Wizards started badly. Both teams have gotten better, but the Wizards aren't as good as the Celtics. I mean,
I watched
just not.
This.
I watched a lot of it.
In the fourth quarter, I'm always struck by this when I watch the Wizards. It appeared as though John Wall could get a layup.
Every
at
time.
Will.
Down the
every
stretch.
Time.
Every
he
time.
Just took it yes. every single time.
Every time. Nobody could ever got stopped. In front
like,
of him.
In half court.
Why
in
don't
half court
you,
offense.
Why don't you just do that, but for the whole game? Like, they're double-teaming him. He's laying it in every single time.
Yeah, it was astonishing.
He goes right by whoever
Doesn't
is
matter.
Near him and has a layup off the glass that always goes in.
Hey, like, six always straight possessions, in. He either dunked it or laid it in.
Yeah. Just,
and they were trying to stop him.
Well, they weren't trying that hard.
Yeah, well, right.
Because they didn't come close to stopping him.
Now, that said, Kyrie is just better.
So we had to
better at basketball.
We had to do a correction yesterday because I had taken on Kyrie again with the flat earth thing. And apparently Kyrie had said in October, this past October, he had apologized to teachers. He said, I used to be involved in conspiracy theories. And I pointed out, but he never said that he believed the earth wasn't flat. I am this stupid. If the earth was flat, every single day, a bunch of people you went to high school with would fall off the earth.
Yeah, man.
And you'd say, where's Billy? Oh, Billy fell off the earth.
Well, it's not the high level cover up.
Billy's not here anymore. Oh, what happened? You know when Johnny and Jimmy got on that crosstown bus? What? Well, they fell off the earth.
Yeah, went too far.
They're not here anymore. Who can possibly, there's a lot of things you can believe in. Who can possibly believe that the earth is flat?
Well, let me offer, just bear with me here. I'm not making, this is,
just
I don't mean this
that,
is a
Nigel.
Joke any more than the flat earthers would suggest a joke. But what if it was flat but there was gravity. So when you got to the end, you just sort of turned, but you were still held on.
Yeah.
And you just wouldn't really know, because maybe it's sort of a gradual turn. Sort of like a round, maybe it's more of a round ball, I'm saying, than flat. Okay, I talked myself out of it.
Can we just cut that part out?
Just clip that.
No, seriously.
Gary. That's crazy.
What is the conspiracy theory? To what end?
To what end? The conspiracy theory is no one has ever walked to the... Have you seen the end, like in the Truman Show, where you just keep walking and then the set ends? And people say, well, no, of course not. And they say, well, you can't unprove that it's flat.
I believe there's a guy named Neil Armstrong. I don't follow that logic. Neil saw the planet from a different area.
But if...
We've seen it from space.
But if the world were flat, you'd fall off.
You guys are such suckers.
People would fall off.
Only if you got to the edge.
Yeah, but you have to get
to
the edge.
No one has ever gotten to the edge?
That's
no,
because
it's probably out in the ocean somewhere.
See, I used to think about this. I am fascinated. There are some natural things and some man-made things that fascinate me. One of the things that is natural that fascinates me, and I used to go to, every time we did a game in Buffalo, I would go to Niagara Falls. I would spend two hours at Niagara Falls.
Looking at the water?
Look at Niagara Falls. And I would think to myself, okay, it's 500 years ago, it's 800 years ago, there's a couple of guys in a canoe, and I go, oh my God!
Whoops.
We're over.
Slow down.
Right. Yeah.
Back up.
And I would think that that would have happened, and so when there was language or when there was ability to communicate, somebody would say, don't go down that river that far in some way, because that'll kill you. Because you look at it, it would also feed
a belief that the earth was flat.
Yeah.
You see someone go over that, like you might think, so.
Except you can see to the other side where people are also walking. You know,
well, not 800 years ago. I mean, it wasn't that populous.
You could see that there was something.
Can I make a suggestion?
That's one example of a barrier that's preventing you from reaching the edge.
Correct.
Let me make a very serious suggestion that you're going to think is a joke. This is sort of outside of what we typically do here.
Here we go.
Somewhere exists sort of one of the world's foremost authorities on this flat earth movement.
There's a guy right here today who did the research on the thick ice melting. 95% of the thick floating ice is gone.
That's nonsense.
He did this.
Many scientists disagree about climate change. We should get
a hardcore flatter on the phone.
Get Rob
to talk to you. He's in to debate it with you. I'd love to hear the argument.
We're not debating it.
Give them equal time.
The earth is not flat. Stop. Anyway.
You know, the earth has gone through a series of cooling and warming times.
What about the moon landing? Do you believe in the moon landing?
Yeah, I do.
That gets us back to Steph Curry and the Warriors. See, it comes full circle.
One other small basketball story. Luka Doncic and Trae Young were traded for each other because the people that run Atlanta are stupid. Okay? So the people in Atlanta drafted... They acquired Trae Young for Luka Doncic. Both had 24 points last night. Very good. Trae Young, in fact, had a pretty good game. Had 10 assists, I think, as well. But Atlanta lost the game to Dallas. And Trae Young, as good as he is ever going to be, this other guy...
It's not even close.
This other guy is at some point maybe going to be the best basketball player in the world. Mm-hmm. He's really, really that
He's
good.
He's 19, Tone.
He's really that good. Well, Trae Young can't be much more than 19. He's probably 19.
Right.
He's not. Here's the problem. He's not as good. It doesn't matter what age he is.
I will take a break. When we come back, Chuck Todd is going to pick some. Chuck Todd last week, 5-2.
Crazy.
Chuck Todd's record right now, 53-42-3. He's got this other job that I guess he's good at, but he's really good at picking games that we give him. So we will have him when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks ad. Send the holiday gift that families across America have loved for over 100 years, Omaha Steaks. Right now, Omaha Steaks has a limited time offer for listeners to this high-quality podcast. When you go to omahasteaks.com, you enter the code Tony into the search bar, you will get 74% off Omaha Steaks family gift package, which is originally $195 and now $49.99. Here's what you will get. 4 hand-cut, aged-to-tenderness, top sirloin steaks. 2 savory premium pork chops, 4 chicken fried steaks, 4 Omaha steak burgers, 4 snappy kielbasa sausages, all beef meatballs, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets, and 4 more burgers for free. That's worth a lot more than $49.99.
That's a great deal.
Omaha Steaks is a 5th generation family owned company with over 100 years of experience delivering perfectly aged beef hand cut by master butchers in Omaha. So again, to get this limited time package, it's a holiday package, for only $49.99, go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony, T-O-N-Y, in the search bar, and add the family gift package to your cart. Don't wait, because the offer ends soon. Go to Omaha Steaks, O-M-A-H-A, as Peyton Manning would say, Omaha. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony in the search bar to send the Omaha Steaks family gift package today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tim Scott sends this in. And he says, attached is another tune from the Love Puppets from Anchorage, Alaska. This is off our latest release, Blackstone, a song titled What You Think I Am. We survived a 7.0 earthquake. Miraculously, our community did not suffer one fatality during the shake. We're thankful that we can continue to play music and listen to podcasts that stink. Thanks for all you do for little musicians by playing our music. You can hear more from the Love Puppets at www.lovepuppets, and it's L-U-V, lovepuppets.com. This and our other 10 albums can be found here and on all the usual digital platforms. That's wonderful. That's really good. Preparatory to getting Chuck Todd in, we do the small read here, which is it's time for NFL Cleanup, sponsored by the Purell brand, a new Purell singles. Chuck Todd had another good week, 5-2. He is now, Gary, is my math correct, 53-42-3.
That is correct.
With 3 weeks to go before the playoffs. That is hot. That is just hot. To what do you attribute how good you are?
I think this is time for me to change my name, create a nickname, right? Moneymaker, come up with something.
Yes.
Start doing 5-star, 6-star,
oversized lock,
8-star picks, right? Maybe a big gold chain, big collar, maybe a big collar shirt. I have no idea why I'm doing so well this year.
55.8%, Chuck.
That's great.
That's killer.
Total randomness this year. But I'll take it.
So great. All right, let's start you off with tonight's game, a very attractive game. The Los Angeles Chargers, who Wilbon and I continue to call San Diego on the air because we can't stop that. The Chargers are getting 3.5 at Kansas City. This is Phillip Rivers, one of the old guard quarterbacks, against Patrick Mahomes, the comet in the sky at the moment among the young quarterbacks. If you take the Chargers, you get 3.5 points. I will point out that Kansas City beat the Chargers early in the season in that soccer stadium. Who you got?
So there's a whole bunch of things here that make this game very scary, and I wouldn't actually bet on it under any circumstance. Number one, do you think Kansas City and San Diego are even? Because Vegas does. This means on a neutral site, the Chiefs would be a half-point favorite. They have the best home field advantage going. That also may mean, actually, that does Vegas think the Chargers are better than the Chiefs? So on one hand, you think a whole bunch of Chiefs value, but it's a divisional opponent.
Yep.
They've already played once. This game, the Chargers are always better to bet on when they're getting points. They're a great dog. It scares me. The half point scares me. I wish I could play the Carvel here and buy the half point, and then I would take Kansas City, but I'm not going to going to stick with Kansas City because they're the home team on a Thursday night. But, and I'm sorry this game's on a Thursday night. This game should be on a Sunday night.
It's a really good game.
It's a great game that won't be good. Tonight's game won't be good. You got a bunch of hurt players. You got a bunch of players that haven't recovered. So what should be a premier game, the NFL, because they want to squeeze every dollar out of the players that they can, is putting this game on a Thursday night where, you know, unfortunately – it won't be the best that they can play.
This is Kansas City. Kansas City wins this game. Kansas City wins the division, keeps home field all the way through. This is a really big game for Kansas City. The Chargers, you know, the Chargers can tie. They can both be 11-3, but Kansas City will own, because of divisional wins, Chuck, Kansas City will own the advantage, the tiebreaker. So I think it's almost a bigger game for Kansas City. I think I would pick Kansas City.
By the way, another stat that scares me here was something that teams after overtime games have losing records, whether they win or lose.
Kansas City had
an overtime game. The week after they have an overtime game.
Yeah. Cleveland is getting 3 at Denver. Cleveland continues to be better, much better than they were last year, significantly better. Baker Mayfield is a big part of that. For all I know, Greg Williams could keep this job. I wouldn't have thought so 4 weeks ago, but for all I know, he could keep this job. Denver, disappointing last week. Very disappointing last week. I like Case Keenum. I like Denver, but they were no good. You get 3 if you like Cleveland. Do you like them?
You know, I don't like them with Baker Mayfield's first time in the thin air on the road. That alone is enough for me to go Denver. I'm surprised, though, that this is only three.
Yes.
I think it's just because Denver played so poorly last week. But, I'm all over Denver on this one, simply because of Baker Mayfield's first time in the thin air.
Dallas is on the road at Indianapolis. Dallas has won five straight games. Dallas has a very good defense, not a great offense, very good defense. Indianapolis righted itself last week. You know, you give them a mulligan on the terrible Jacksonville game because they won last week, and Andrew Luck got back into throwing touchdown passes. I'm a little bit surprised Dallas is getting three. How about you?
I can tell you why they're getting three. You know, this is their first road game in 4 weeks, I believe.
Is that right?
Check me on that. I think they've had three straight home games. And they're not good on the road. They haven't been good on the, you know, they're not good on the road this year. So I get it. And this feels like the week that the bubble burst a little bit. So give me Andrew Luck.
Okay.
And covering that spread.
Three home teams in a row, unusual for Chuck Todd.
Yeah.
He's a road guy most of the time. The team of his youth, the Miami Dolphins, who had the most miraculous play in the history of the NFL to win that game, to beat New England last week. They go on the road to Minnesota, probably at this point if not the most disappointing team, and yet they're still in it. They're the wild card right now in the NFC. Miami at Minnesota, Miami getting seven.
By the way, typical Dolphins at the highlight of the year is just some regular season thing like that. This still doesn't beat – I still think the greatest Dolphins play ever is that hook and lateral. In the probably the greatest playoff game I ever watched, in that Miami San Diego game way back in the day, when David Woodstruck was the dual quarterback for the Dolphins. I'm going with Minnesota firing the offensive coordinator. Kirk Cousins has something to prove. The Dolphins are going to have a little bit of a hangover.
Yep.
It feels like if you were just to play all the little mind games here. It feels like that you'd rather be with Minnesota. This feels like Minnesota has to win this week. And the Dolphins aren't that good. They just sort of lucked out. I'd rather put my money in Minnesota.
You are the first person ever on this show to reference David Woodley and Don Strock. You are it.
How about that?
Nobody knew what you were talking about.
No,
me.
I zoned out.
Is that why there was silence? I thought I was really proud. Like,
no,
wow,
I knew. No, I knew.
I was given a 1,000-yard stare.
That season, can I just tell you, that season was such a – I remember it because every week they'd start Don Strock and he'd stink. Then they'd say, all right, we'll start Woodley again, and he'd stink. They'd bench him, and they'd bring in Strock, and he'd throw 300 yards in the last three quarters of the game. And then they
legendary backup Don Strock.
Fact checking, Chuck. He is actually correct. Not that that would surprise us regarding the Cowboys, whose last road game was at Atlanta on November 18th.
Four straight home games.
They were home for Thanksgiving with the Redskins. Right. Then they were home the following Thursday with Atlanta, and then they just had Sunday night Philly. That's three games in a row, too, on national TV.
Here is a game you want to see. This is New England at Pittsburgh. Tom Brady not good in Miami. Tom Brady good in Pittsburgh. 6-2 lifetime in Pittsburgh. New England is a 1.5-point favorite, which surprises me a little bit. New England is coming out of that ridiculous ending against Miami. The Steelers, this is their season, pretty much.
Absolutely.
They win this game, they probably close out Baltimore in their division. It's not going to be a wild card, I don't think, from that division, though I could be wrong. They've lost a bunch of games, and Ben Roethlisberger almost threw it away at the goal line again last week. I don't know what to make of Pittsburgh. This is a game I will want to see. New England, 1.5, you have to give. What do you do?
I hear you. I think you guys mentioned this the other day, or somebody did, the look on Belichick's face after losing on that ridiculous play, right? You got to think that there's going to be a little bit more focus with them this week. And I think there's something wrong with the Steelers, and there's a chance that if they lose this game, right, they don't make the playoffs. Isn't it feel like there's a house cleaning coming there? Like they said, whatever it is, if they don't win this game, I think we start hearing the chatter about, all right, Big Ben versus the rest of the team. What's wrong? Mm-hmm. Is it time? You know.
Well, early this year, remember there was talk. Tomlin had lost the team, and AB was unhappy. So, yes. And then they righted it with a few wins.
Yes.
But have they really righted it? Right.
There's sort of big drama there.
You know what I mean? They just sort of like limp there.
There's drama because of Roethlisberger, who's a diva. There's drama. So, yeah.
You know, the Patriots could win this game by 30. Like, this could be one of those where they just suddenly... Mm-hmm. No, right. I mean, they probably won't, but...
They have a terrible defense.
They came in and pasted, but they could just paste Pittsburgh and sort of demoralize. Like, you could picture the Steelers just falling apart for some reason on this one. But we'll see.
All right.
I'm on the path.
Philly is at the L.A. Rams. Am I right on this? Philly is getting 9. We don't know about the status of Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz can't play and it's Nick Foles, I think that would go up.
I think he is not playing.
Not expected.
And so it is 9.
I will check the latest
at the LA Rams. The LA Rams got beat.
Actually, it's all over the board now. It opened at 9.
Right.
I'm seeing everything from 11 to 12. Frankly.
Oh wow.
10.5 to 12.
I guess we can see.
Pick a number.
I'm going to give you 11. Yeah. If Florence isn't playing, I'm going to give you 11 here. And I'm going to point out, I'm giving you 11 on a team that won the Super Bowl last year. The Philadelphia Eagles. If you think Pittsburgh's in bad shape, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. They're at the Rams. The Rams got beat down. The Rams got beat down. That's an enormous number. What do you got?
Well, I can I pull the Carvel here and take the Rams in the 9?
Yes. I'll give you that.
Or I'd have to take the or the Eagles in 11.
Nah, you can't do that. I love Chuck. You can't do that. Yeah. You can't get 9 anywhere. should have called in Tuesday.
Fair
Sorry.
Enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, I'll stick with the 11. I'll stick with the 11 here. If Wentz was playing, I would be very tempted. And even at 9, I would have been tempted with the Eagles, but I wouldn't touch it in real life because of all this uncertainty and because of all that, but you gotta assume the Rams can bounce back here, and you gotta assume that that this is less about facing the Eagles and more about realizing that they need to keep up with the Saints here a little bit. So give me the Rams.
I agree with that. I don't think the Eagles' defense is anywhere near what the Bears' defense. I think this is a big bounce back game. And finally, we're going to give you Washington at Jacksonville, a game that not only no one wants to watch, but shouldn't even be broadcast in the United States. There's no reason to put this on.
Can we flex this game to London?
Yes.
This should be how you do it. Let's flex this game to London.
This is awful. People.
Yeah, they don't deserve this.
The Redskins are getting 7. They're getting 7 against a team that benched its quarterback and took a guy off the street, just like the Redskins. This is such a bad, bad game. Redskins get 7. What do you got?
I'd like to see them somehow deal with, like, signing and trading quarterbacks in the middle of the game at this point, you know, just to see if they can take people off the
street.
That
would be great.
Yeah, just do swaps and stuff. I mean... 7 is just too many points for a bad team to be given. I assume this will be a low-scoring, sloppy game. I mean, I assume Jacksonville wins, but I don't think they can beat anybody by 7. This has like 13-9 written all over it, or 12-7. You know, some horrible field goal, like fumble return for a touchdown. Ends it. So I guess I'll go with the Redskins just because it's too many points.
Thank you, Chuck. We hope your winning streak continues. 53-42-3. Yes.
It took, just so you know, it took about 10 years of listening to you, but you have finally given me a platform about something that has been very passionate about my whole life. It is under. It is not over. The reason it is under is because if it's over, you waste too much toilet paper. Of course it's under. It's easier to rip. It's easier to take to handle things with. It's easier to do your business. It's wasteful. It's anti, you know, it's never over. And yes, I'm one of those people who corrects it when people incorrect.
No, you
don't. He's a fixer.
No, monster. You don't.
Monster.
I absolutely do that. I will absolutely go into somebody's house and correct it because I think most people don't understand the correct way to.
In many ways, you're doing them a favor.
That's insane.
Exactly the way I look at it, Chris.
That's insane.
If I,
The mad toilet paper
Can you
changer.
Imagine the parties, the houses he's been to where when he's left, like What's the couple's talking here? About yeah, it. Who like, was the last person like, in the back? Oh, my God. I think Chuck reversed
think
our
Chuck
toilet
did
paper.
This to us.
Fantastic.
I will own that. I am all about the under. All right. Goodbye.
Thank you, Chuck. Chuck Todd, boys and girls, who you can see on Meet the Press.
But who cares?
But not talking about toilet paper. It's more important to be here. All right. If we just gave you Chuck Todd, that would be fantastic. But we give you even more.
Wow.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping.
Everyone can join in.
Attache. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bites by two. Sometimes he throws his poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blues.
So the monkey had a bad week.
Yes.
The monkey was 0-3. The monkey is 15-26-1.
Ooh.
But he's a monkey.
He's a monkey.
He's a monkey.
What'd you expect?
15 wins out of a monkey is not bad.
So I went down to the National Zoo. He was not in his cage. But there was a note on his desk in his cage that said, "Meet me at Camp David." This is where Reginald goes when life is tough. He's got an all-access pass for lifetime guarantee. So he's just wandering the grounds. You know, trying to collect his thoughts. We walked around, and he
clear
seemed,
his head. Smart.
Yeah,
smart.
He's not doing well. He's very upset, but he wants to get back on the winning track. So the first game we gave him was Cleveland getting three at Denver, and he showed me some newspaper clippings of some very positive reviews he got when he did a stage production of Waiting for Godot, along with Hanford Dixon, produced by Frank Minifield and directed by Bernie Kosar.
Fantastic.
So clearly he's got strong ties to the Cleveland area, and he will take the Browns and take those 3 points. Now, the next game we gave him was the one tonight, the Chargers getting 3.5 at Kansas City. This was some great video he showed me of him surfing with Dan Fouts, Charlie Joyner, and Kurt Bevacqua. Do you remember him from the San Diego Padres?
Yeah, of course.
That's right. They were just off the coast in La Jolla. So clearly he's got ties to the San Diego area. Even though they're now Los Angeles, he'll take the Chargers.
He
with
rides
that one.
For San Diego.
He does. Yeah. He does. And the last game we gave him, he was not happy to pick this game. He got very angry.
It's a Redskin game.
Threw some poo at a tree. This is how angry he was at.
Wow. Wow, he was pissed.
But he did show me a picture of him opening up a Waffle House with Tony Baselli and Mark Brunell. So clearly. And in fact, he owns 16 Waffle Houses in the Jacksonville area.
I think this is going to be one of those dreadful backdoor covers in the last minute of the
absolutely.
Game. And somebody's going to be very hurt and angry about this. This game is so bad.
The 20 people who watch
it's possible this is going to be the lowest rated in the Washington, D.C. area game with the Redskins
I think
ever.
Why would you want to watch this game?
It just can't.
It's just miserable.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will have
news.
When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And this is the finish of the Purell ad. Cold and flu season is here and just in time for the holidays, no less. We're traveling more, catching up with friends and family, the whole nine yards. And when we're connecting with so many people every day, it's easy to spread seasonal illnesses. And that's why I use Purell products, including new Purell singles hand sanitizer packets. These new single-use packets are super portable, super convenient, and they kill more than 99.99% of most common germs that can make you sick. Purell is the brand that hospitals trust most to keep patients safe from infection. And the same germ-fighting formula doctors use goes into every Purell singles packet. But here's the best part. They go everywhere. So you can grab a handful to keep in the car, throw a few in your pocket before you leave home. They're individually sealed. There's no mess. And each packet has the exact amount of sanitizer recommended by the CDC. And really, who knows more about the cold and flu season than the CDC? So as we head into the busiest time of the year, do yourself a favor and stock up on new Purell singles hand sanitizer packets on Amazon. They can help you avoid getting sick and get the most out of every day. Your well-being is important. You should protect it with America's number one hand sanitizer brand. Don't forget, get your Purell singles on Amazon today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song entitled V for Vexation. This is the Diane Kruger effect.
Look,
this is Overby and
Jason Fuse and the incomparable Robert Byrne. Yes.
Right. Have you ever felt vexed by something? Perhaps you hate the name Tad. Why not name people Smidge or Scintilla or 3/8-inch socket ring?
Well, we work with Scintilla, don't we?
Maybe you can't stand the sound Styrofoam makes as it's removed from a box and would rather have a broken product arrive in the mail than have to listen to that sound. Or maybe you would just like to punch every alternately flavored Oreo on Earth into cookie dust. The Diane Kruger Effect brings you V for Vixation. Also, can you tell Dan Waltzman to see if maybe this track works better to put his lady in the mood? Some people respond better to non-traditional solutions. And these guys, I love these guys.
Yeah,
I don't really want to be with them for any great length of time, but I love these
guys. But we love them.
Michael, if people who get together in a band like the Diane Kruger Effect want to send us their original music, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And are we going to sell some Johnny O here right
yes,
now?
Yes, I would like to ask you about your photo shoot yesterday. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it very much. Michael got me. I tried to think of the color of the Johnny O sweater.
Guess what you would call that.
I would have called it cranberry. Am I close? What do they call it?
I would have guessed a Merlot at first blush.
Okay.
They call it, this is the Scarlet Sully.
Scarlet. Pullover. Right. Okay. So that was very nice. I put on a shirt. I put on a Johnny O shirt and a Johnny O pullover, and Michael took some pictures. And
we took them in front of our traditional Christmas tree.
Yeah, they scared the children.
With your hands clasped together.
This is what I do.
I thought you took them here.
Yes, we did. Yeah, okay. The tree downstairs.
What children?
Huh?
Okay. You lost me. Sorry.
So we're selling that. How do people, if they want to buy Johnny O stuff, how do they do it?
Go check out johnnyo.com. Use the promo code TKGIFT. You still have plenty of time to have your gifts arrive in time for whatever holiday you're celebrating.
Doing it right
and
now.
And just remember that we are going to be sharing some of the proceeds with the First Tee of Greater Washington, D.C.,
which is very nice.
Can I also make a Johnny O recommendation? Yeah. These vests, I'm going to buy
the Tahoe?
One. They're really cool. Yes,
I could sell you one out of the trunk of my car.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
The problem is that Johnny O is one of the models, right, for Johnny O.
It's just a high bar.
Professionally handsome.
Yeah,
I really struggle. It's just not going to look like that on
he's
me.
He's impossibly handsome.
He really is.
What have you got, Nigel?
Mr. Tony, looks like Tanner Roark will not be pitching for the Washington Nationals next year. Traded to the Cincinnati Reds for another Tanner Rainey, a reliever.
It's probably the first just swap one for one of Tanners in Major League Baseball history.
I believe
they
it is.
Tried to find a Walker, a Carter, and a Parker to throw in, but they couldn't do it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to come to the defense of Tanner Roark. I always liked Tanner Roark. I liked him because they jerked him around a lot, and anything they asked him to do, he tried his best to do. He won 15 games in 2014. He won 16 games in 2016. He had a bad year this year. He lost 15 games, which I think was the high in
the
National League. High in the National League. He had a bad year. But he never stomped around the mound like Gio Gonzalez. He never said, "Oi, I can't go," like Steven Strasburg. He didn't do that. He tried to be as professional as you could be. He was, unless I'm mistaken, he was not a complainer. Michael's
not
looking askance at me.
No, I'm saying he took a small shot in terms of ownership, did what they wanted to do. This comes down to me. This is the 2017 divisional round where they did not play him in that Chicago series, and obviously they gave Strasburg his start. That worked out. That was a great game. The mold game. But no, the writing was on the wall. The losses were just piling up.
Yep.
It is said that
maybe
the way...
Gotta be a pretty good pitcher to lose 15, though.
Yeah, because you keep getting starts.
Yeah.
It is said that what led him down the road to perdition was playing in that World Baseball Council, Congress, whatever it's called, that championships, that hurt him. I liked him. I never felt bad when he was out there. Like I sometimes felt bad when Joe Ross was out there or Eric Fetty was
out
there.
Always when Gio was out there.
Or always when Strasburg was out there where I was waiting
for
Strasburg to just look at his elbow and be carted off.
I still have texts from you where it says, he's shaking his arm. That's the key. He does the shake out. Yeah. And then FP's like, I don't know, Strauss looks a little uncomfortable out there. Whammo! Here comes the trainer.
You never felt the game was out of hand with Tanner Roark on the mound.
No, he gave you effort. I think of him as a professional. Mm-hmm. Now, I read in the paper that the guy they have picked up spent most of last year in the minors.
Yes.
But when he got to the majors, Tanner Rainey, he gave up 17 runs in 9 innings.
So less than 2 an inning.
That is terrible.
Career ERA of 24.43.
Unbelievably terrible.
Did you say 17 runs?
Yes.
It's actually 19.
I'm looking at it right
19
now.
Runs in 7 innings
Tone,
in
this
8
is a
appearances.
Salary.
It's so
this was
terrible.
A salary dump. So this is a salary dump. This is to free up more money
to get another
pitcher. I don't think
to get another pitcher
or a second baseman.
Need more money to let Bryce Harper go.
This guy doesn't make any money, and Tanner was going to make 10-ish.
10 million, I think.
This guy shouldn't make any money because he can't pitch. I can let up 19 runs in 7 innings. I can let him up in 4, maybe in 1. But I'm not a professional pitcher. Go ahead. What else?
Some other changes with the Washington Nationals. This with the pre- and post-game. Yeah. Johnny Holliday is stepping aside from
his
role on Madsen.
Ray Knight got released because Ray Knight...
Not renewed, right?
I really like Ray Knight.
Yes.
But there were some off-the-field things with Ray Knight that scared management a little bit. He got in a fight, and then he yelled at some producer. I thought Ray Knight was great. Ray Knight. I would say to the producer, let's just get another producer, that Ray Knight likes, because right. I like Ray Knight. That's me. And now Johnny has walked away.
Yeah, still going to do the Terps basketball and football. But
well, it's an odd thing. When they're on the road, their studio is in Baltimore. That's a hike. It's in Owings Mills.
Yes.
I don't understand that. Why don't they build a studio in Washington for him? But in any case, Johnny has walked away from a show that I liked. The pre and post, I liked the show with him and Ray Knight. Now, I will say that last year, a couple of times, they brought in Michael Moore, and he was very good. He's about 8 feet tall.
He's huge.
Moore. I don't let me confuse him with Michael Moore of the Detroit Tigers hat.
Also big, but in a different way.
Right. Yes. Michael Morse, who was very good. And apparently Zverluga is saying that it could be Michael Morse and Dan Colco. Dan Colco would get off the field.
Yes.
And I would think this is a better job than on the field, but maybe not. Maybe it's not.
Who knows what he wants to do. I would still say their best move would be you for East Coast pregame, West Coast postgame, because you'll be just getting up. And then just get someone else to do the East Coast post and the West Coast pre.
And one-man booth.
I would last.
Build a little studio here in Chatter.
One game pitched by somebody I didn't like.
Yeah.
I would last one game.
Did anybody notice?
That would be it.
Also, I mean, truth be told, you would have a tough time working in that with your new schedule with the chief of staff job that you're going to take.
I didn't get that job. And I shouldn't get that job. Piers Morgan actually ought to get that job.
Canseco. Canseco has
Jose
asked Canseco for
that. Jose Canseco wants that job?
Hashtag yes we Canseco is the movement, yes. So,
hard to resist that hashtag.
What else?
He actually said in his tweet announcing his candidacy, Jose Canseco did, that he tweeted at Trump saying, "You're also looking more and more like a Twinkie every day, so I can get you in shape. I'll help get him in shape."
Yeah, I can give you all the PEDs.
Two for one.
Yeah.
Another calm week for the Washington Redskins. Apparently, some comments.
This is a great story.
Yeah, some comments between Washington linebacker Mason Foster and someone in a private Instagram conversation.
Not just someone, a Redskins fan.
A fan.
With whom he engaged in a private
The team cannot let you do this.
Yes.
He talks about, read the exact words he wrote.
Well, I can't read the exact words.
Might want to clean them up.
Right, yes.
Clean them up.
Bleep this team and this fan base. I'm not bleep with it. Or being a scapegoat to make fans feel better about all these big money people who ain't playing or getting dogged out. Yeah, I'll try my chances and go to a winning team next year.
Huh. Well, that can be read a lot of different ways.
You point out that Jay Gruden is totally defending.
Well, Jay Gruden was asked about this at his press conference yesterday and was firmly in the corner of Mason Foster, essentially saying he knows the man, he sees him work, he sees him play on the field, he knows he's a great teammate. He kind of deflected, said, "Look, I don't know the context of this. I don't know who he's talking to.
The context is, I hate this place, and I want to get out.
I don't know when he
this
said
is a
it.
Dumpster
he might have
fire.
Been joking. And
joking?
The thing that...
Well, you guys are taking this out of context. You forget the 6 tears of joy emoji that followed the comment.
That's true.
He wants out.
The thing that Gruden did crush was this guy who, as Gruden put it, broke the code by sharing what was a private conversation on social media.
Are athletes so stupid that they think this stuff doesn't come back when you go on social media and you say these?
Apparently, in this case, it would appear to be so. But yeah, it's interesting.
Defensive captain, by the way, Mason Foster. I will say this, in Jay Gruden's defense.
Mason Foster, damn glad to meet you.
And this is not a punchline, though it may sound like a punchline. Jay Gruden probably thinks, as I think I would if I was in his position, I've got a team that is one half game out of the playoffs.
I'm still in it.
Right. So let's keep this team together.
Get it. Get everybody on the same spot here and go forward.
I don't think Jay Gruden feels like he's on the Titanic right now. I don't think he does. I don't think you can. I think if you're a head coach in the NFL. I mean, they're in it. You're all laughing. They are in it. They're not going to be in it in 3 days.
I had a conversation with Gary Williams last night.
Okay.
And
name rings a bell.
And I would tell you that Gary Williams, his whole life is informed by being a coach. And Gary Williams believes this. If we outwork them, we can beat them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doesn't mean we're better than them, but if we outwork them, we can beat them. I don't know how... I don't know how you can coach if you don't believe that.
Gary only believes that because he made a Hall of Fame career out of doing it.
Right. So, you know, yeah.
Now, Jay Gruden.
Not in the Hall of Fame
yet. Doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to beat you with yours or his like Gary did.
What else we got?
Looks like Joe Flacco will not be returning to the starting lineup despite the fact that he is healthy. They announced yesterday, the Ravens do, that Lamar Jackson will remain as the starting quarterback.
I think they're right in doing that. I think it's the only way John Harbaugh can keep his job. Lamar Jackson, although he has fumbled 8 times and hasn't been brilliant, the team has won 3 out of 4 games and could have beaten Kansas City. That was a great game. It goes to overtime. Yep. Could have beaten Kansas City. Joe Flacco was 4-5 when he was there. There's a lot of sentiment by a lot of guys in that locker room who remember Joe Flacco being the MVP of the Super Bowl. But right now, Lamar Jackson gives them a better chance to win. And by the way, they drafted Lamar. This didn't sneak up on anybody. They drafted him in the first round. In the first round. Yes. They were saying, this is our guy down the road. The road just got there quicker. Yes.
So does this finally settle the debate as to whether or not Joe Flacco is elite?
Is he
elite? He is not elite. But if I were Joe Flacco, I'd be finding out what the area code is in Jacksonville, Florida, because that's where I'd want to be next year.
This is why, by the way, when
with Leonard Fournette,
when Nigel asks if I can do a show, I immediately always agree, even if I have to cancel the birth of my next child for fear that I get Flacco'd, you know? Like, you'd miss one game.
Right.
Whammo.
You're done. Are we good?
Yes.
Anything else?
Yes.
Do you have any crazy stories?
Oh, I do have one crazy story. Okay. Do we have time for this? Michael Carroll, from Lake Grove, Long Island.
I'm unfamiliar with Lake Grove, Long Island.
Let's see where it is.
His father, the story he was told by his mother was that his father walked out on the family in 1961.
That's 57 years ago.
When he was just 8 months old.
Now, by the way, Lake Grove, just east of Smithtown?
Yeah, that's Suffolk County, North Shore. North Shore, Suffolk County.
When he... asked about his father, like what happened, his mother would just say, he walked out and don't ask any more questions.
Right.
Shortly after his father apparently disappeared, another man named Richard Derris moved in to the home and married Dorothy, his mother.
It's possible there was prior knowledge. Yes. It's possible.
Now,
what?
Dorothy passed away in 1998. Derris passed away earlier this year. Michael Carroll purchased the house from his mother, and always felt like, well, what's going on here? Whatever happened to my father? Hired a psychic. The psychic went down to the basement, pointed to a spot in the concrete, and said, the energy is right here. So what do?
Start digging.
Yeah. And what do they find? A skeleton.
Bones!
Yes, a full skeleton that appeared to have blunt trauma to the head. This is now, and yes, in fact, it is his father. And this is now being investigated as a homicide, except everybody is dead.
Except the psychic who knew he was there, maybe I would check the psychic.
Do you really want to know this? Do you think Michael Carroll's happy now? Because I don't.
He says he has peace. He says he has peace.
Because I would have some questions that are never going to be answered.
It's tough to sell that house.
I think it's tough to sell. It's in Amityville.
All right. Yeah, it's close to Amityville. All right, well, we'll get out of here now, and when we come back, we'll do Old Guy, Jeff Ma, and James Carville.
In theory,
Bet Games, in theory.
Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the 23andMe ad. So now through December 25th, which is just short of 2 weeks, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand. They're always on sale, but you get a better price this time.
Yes.
23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It is named for the 23 pair of chromosomes that make up everyone's DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes over 90 personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. Spit into the tube that is provided in the kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, receive your personalized online reports. There are so many things that they can tell you about. The two that I enjoy the most are the cilantro taste aversion, because to me, that's just not high up on the list. If you don't like cilantro, and it says many people dislike cilantro, describing the taste as soapy. Do you have the genetic markers associated with this aversion? Misophonia. Almost everyone hates noises like nails on a chalkboard, but for people with misophonia, M-I-S-O-P-H-O-N-I-A, everyday noises like the sound of chewing gum can cause a similar reaction, along with rage or panic. Do you have genetic variant associated with hating chewing sounds? And my favorite, mosquito bite frequency. Some people may feel they get more mosquito bites than the people around them. So what makes some people more attractive to mosquitoes than others? Genetics may be partly to blame.
How about this one? You're 39% less likely to sneeze when exposed to bright light.
I am, or anybody is?
You are. Should I not have shared that publicly?
Oh, man. Wow. Well, this is
awkward. But I sneeze all the time with chocolate.
And pepper.
I sneeze. I have like 20 sneezes whenever I eat chocolate, and I love chocolate. Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/Tony. That is the number 2 and the number 3. 23andme.com/Tony. Again, that's 23andme.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Why did you pick this song?
Because I asked you yesterday, I said, we don't really have any birthdays or anything significant. What's a good Christmas song we could play?
And I said Mel Torme and the Christmas song.
Yes.
This has been covered by everybody in the world. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Doesn't it make you happy? Doesn't
Always.
This song make
beautiful.
You happy? You know, so oh, yeah. You hear the first line, chestnuts roasting on an open
It's impossible not to smile when you hear this song.
And I
like
the song. Can I just say, I went with the family last night to the Omni Theater to see Elf, a musical production of the Will Ferrell movie, and it was just delightful.
Good.
So much fun.
Good.
So
maybe fun. Maybe more people will go as a
Yes, they should check it out.
By the way, this song, as Mel Torme explained, was written in the heat of the summer, and they were trying
really?
To think, stay cool by thinking of things, you know.
Was it written for a movie?
It doesn't say that it was written for a movie, but they just saw a pad, a paper with Bob Wells, who was the guy that co-wrote it with them, with just four lines. Chestnuts roasting, Jack Frost nipping, Yuletide carols, folks dressed up like Eskimos, and then they
we'll
built
fill the rest in later.
Yeah, well, it's
exactly. A great. It's a great.
5 minutes later,
all right, we're going to get to Jeff Ma in a second, but we have James Carville news.
Yes,
right.
James Carville
is on an airplane now and could not make an appearance, which is okay. James Carville was 1-0-1 last week.
Yes,
1-0-1
undefeated.
So Carville is 14-14-2. He has reached Mount 500. And Nigel, what did he say to you?
Take the Chargers tonight. And I said, I texted him back, I said, we've got it at 3.5. I fear the airplane is in the air right now and he cannot see my text.
Right.
But I guess he'll tell me if there was a different line.
Now,
that he wanted.
Now Chris, you suggested he was looking at a line where he could get 20.
20.
Well,
he saw it somewhere.
It is there. 3 is not presently available. It's 3.5.
3.5.
That is the line everywhere.
Right. Okay.
So Jeff Ma joins us now. And Jeff, of course, with Rufus Peabody, does the Bet the Process podcast that we heartily endorse here. Jeff was 2-3 last week. Jeff, even with a bad week for Jeff, Jeff is 34-30-5, if I have the math right. So if you're betting with Jeff, you're making money. Chuck Todd making more money at the moment, but making money with Jeff. Jeff, what do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, it's interesting that he said he has the Chargers tonight plus 3.5. Is that what Carville has?
That's what Carville wants, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Would you believe that that's the battle of the two best offenses in terms of yards per play this season?
Hmm.
No, I would have thought
the Rams,
or the Saints were there with the Chiefs. I would have thought that.
Yeah. Those are the two number one and number two team in terms of yards per play. So that is an interesting game. I probably would pick the Chiefs in that game, but that's not one of my picks.
Okay.
But it should be a really exciting game. I'm going to start with a very unpopular pick, I would assume, which is Jacksonville -7 over Washington. Ooh. Obviously, Washington looked terrible, so there's a slightly inflated line here, you would think, but it's not really inflated because Washington is now, amongst a lot of the advanced analytics ratings, one of the worst two or three teams in the league. You add to that the quarterback and all the injury problems that they have. Jacksonville, you would think, is not going to be motivated. Everyone thinks they've kind of quit. But I don't think it's going to take very much for them to win this game by 7 or more points. You get a couple turnovers mixed in there and a Jacksonville defense, which is still a very, very good defense.
This is a game that would scare me. We were saying this before, that in the last minute there would be some ridiculous play that would ultimately change everything about it. Not as ridiculous as the Miami game, you know, the Miami last play.
Yeah,
but
just old-fashioned backdoor cover.
Yeah, something would happen, a pick six or something like that, you know.
So here's an interesting question from that Miami-New England game. New England faced that fourth and two with, 17 seconds left, and they didn't go for it. They kicked a field goal going from 2 points to 5 points. Do you think that was the right decision, or do you think they should have gone for it?
I thought it was the right decision to do because then a field goal doesn't beat you. I thought it was the right decision. Yes, I did. Did you?
One of the interesting things that people are talking about now, and this doesn't apply, obviously, when there's such a short amount of time left, but when you move the amount up from, you know, over field goal to from a field goal to over field goal, you actually make the other team much more aggressive and play much more optimally in regulation. That's something that Doug Peterson was saying in regards to why he didn't go for it in the situation, go for two in the situation last week against Dallas. In that game, I lost. So obviously, that's a funny thing about betting, right? In that case, when Doug Peterson had a chance to go for two and or, you know, kick an extra point, I actually, even though I bet on Philly, wanted him to either go for two and not get it or kick the extra point and not get the extra point because I'm getting 3.5 points and I don't want it to go to overtime.
Jeff, reset that situation. Which touchdown are you talking about? To put them up by – the touchdown that put them up by two?
Oh, ultimately, yeah. When they went up, and when they went up and they scored that touchdown, I think Sproles scored that touchdown, and they could tie it with an extra point or go for two. And there was a little over a minute left. One of the things reasons that Peterson said he did not go for two at that point was he believed that a tie in the game would have made the Cowboys much more conservative and not actually try to win in regulation.
With the goal being to get
the
overtime.
Ball back. You want the ball back.
Mm-hmm. Right. In that case for him, where he knows he's not going to get the ball back any other way, yes, that's what his
Understood.
Goal was. And it's actually very interesting because that's also the thing in terms of, like, when you're up by three and not necessarily kicking a field goal and trying to score a touchdown, because the leverage of being up by two scores is better than only being up by a touchdown versus a field goal, because you know that team is all of a sudden now, it increases their chances of winning in regulation because they're going to play much more optimally, i.e. go for more fourth downs.
That's odd.
Yeah,
that's odd.
Very interesting.
Okay, so you got Jacksonville. What else?
Sorry about that. I was that's a little right. diatribe.
That's fine.
Carolina plus the six over New Orleans. New Orleans obviously is a team that people now think is probably the best team in maybe all of football. But it's just simply too many points with Carolina at home. It's still a better than average team. The thought is maybe that Cam is a little bit hurt.
They stink.
But I definitely like Carolina. Plus
they stink. They've lost. They've gassed. They've lost three or four in a row. They stink. Their coaches. They're no, really, really. Okay.
But Tony, that's when you get value. Is when people think they stink. You know, like people like you think they stink. That's when you know you're representing what the mainstream thought process is, and that's when you're going to get value.
Okay. What else?
I'm going to take New York Jets plus the six over Houston. Even though Houston has won so many games, obviously last week they did not play particularly well against Indy. The Jets have been sort of a very a stealth team. It was a big win against Buffalo. I know that sounds very odd to say, but I like the Jets plus the six here because I think they have a good defense, and I definitely think Houston's a bit overrated.
I think if we went back in your bets on this show, we would find that you have picked the Jets more than any other team.
No, Cleveland. He was at
that
Cleveland
was early,
a lot early.
On. But yeah. I think you've liked the Jets a lot. I do. I think you've liked the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, the thing with this is you're not necessarily picking the teams you think are going to win, right? You're picking the teams that you think are going to get good value or for whatever reason are underrated. And in this case, the Jets are pretty underrated because they have a good defense and their offense obviously is not good, but it's better, you know, it's serviceable in certain situations, I guess.
Okay. What else you got?
I'm going to take Tennessee plus the three over the Giants. Giants, obviously, after last week, looked like world beaters and Saquon Barkley and on and on and on. But I think Tennessee is a better team, and getting 3 points against the Giants is value that I would take here.
Tennessee's still in it. For a wild card. Yeah. You're still in it for a wild card. Okay. What else? You got another one?
Hard to see. Yeah, last, finally, I'm going to take Denver minus a three over Cleveland. Obviously, Denver laid an egg against San Francisco, but they're still in this. And, you know, the challenge here, right, is that they have really no wide receivers anymore, losing Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. But they're going to run the ball against Cleveland, and they're going to try to grind this out. And I see Cleveland having trouble scoring against Denver. So a short line at minus three, I like Denver.
All right, I'm going to ask you this question. I know you're not going to bet this game. The line now on Philadelphia at the Rams has gone to 11. It's gone to 11 right. because Wentz won't play, and Nick Foles, who all Nick Foles did was win every single playoff game that was in front of him last year. But I understand that because he hasn't played in 8 or 9 weeks or something like that. What? They're the defending Super Bowl champions. It's very hard for me to get it through my head that they're this bad. They're getting 11 points. That's such a lot of points. What? I'm not asking you to bet it, but I'm asking you what you think about that game.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely take Philly at this number. I mean, 11.5, you're right, is a lot. And, you know, the challenge with Philly is, again, we've talked about this. I was on them last week.
Yeah.
They're a team that going into this season, obviously, we thought were really good, and they have not performed to that this week. I mean, and I think the thought process is that last week was their final stand, and they certainly played well against the Dallas team and really had a chance to win in what ended up being kind of a coin flip game. Now you take all of that, you know, the letdown of that, and again, this is what people think about when they make these bets. And that line was all, I think it was, it opened at like 9, 9.5, went down to 7 because people were betting on Philly and thought that were too many points. And then all of a sudden when Wentz got announced, it went up to 11. So the question is, do you believe that the difference between Foles and Wentz is about 4.5 points? And that's kind of what they're saying here. I think it's too many points. If I were picked, if I were to pick that game, I certainly would take Philly plus the points.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff's podcast is called Bet the Process. And again, if you're betting with him on this show, he's winning.
You're winning.
You're winning, and he's winning. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tony.
In reality, you know, the Carson Wentz has really only looked right in one game this year, and it was the most recent game against the Redskins.
In the fourth quarter against Dallas, he looked great.
Yeah, that's true. That's
he looked
true.
Great.
That's
he brought them back.
That first half, though.
All right, we will take a break. We will come back. We'll finish the show.
That's right.
We have email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let me tell you about this little thing that happened to me yesterday. Driving down the street, got a red and stopped at a light. And I said right to that girl, honey, were you on your cell phone? And then I felt a fool, cause I could see that she was gonna cry. And now my bumper's dead. You know that she's the one police are gonna sight. And I'm looking at the damage to my caddy tonight. Looking at the damage to my caddy tonight. Come on, crack lights, tow truck, that's right. Michael Cole, Jim Coleman for a loner ride.
This is so great. That's
too
my
true.
Friend Jimmy Steinman's song, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. The lyrics are by Bill Bardo, and the great Jerry Negrelli does the vocal on that. That's spectacular.
Knocked it out of the park. Great
That
job.
Is absolutely spectacular. Let me thank Meet the Press host Chuck Todd. Let me thank Jeff Ma, host of the podcast Bet the Process. Carville didn't show up, but Carville sent word as to what he wanted.
Yeah, literally phoning it in.
Let me thank our sponsors.
Load up on the shot.
Purell, 23andMe, and Omaha Steaks. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut, a longtime listener and emailer. Tony, so now we have the over-under on toilet paper. Do you think degenerate gambler Chuck Todd would bet on it? We now know that Chuck Todd is under.
Yes.
And
strong
is a changer,
under. He's a corrector.
A changer.
Yeah, fixer, yeah.
This is from Matt. My brother, Mark Baseman, sent you a jingle that was played on the show explaining how happy he is now that I'm finally starting to lose my hair. My intent was to give you something funny in this email, but I'm struggling right now for some reason. So I'll take the high road and just say he's surprisingly talented and has some extremely funny songs. I think you should have him on your show one of these days, or at least play some more of his music here and there. Time for some PTI. Have a good night, Nat. Hmm. We have a haiku from Shad for the Tanners and the Nats. A gaggle of geese, murder of crows, school of fish, barter of Tanners. We have from Mike in Burke, Virginia. Way to be shocked that Nevada's in the top 25. It's not like they were number 7 in the preseason polls. Oh, wait, they were. It's not news just because you're surprised by it. It's strange to see them, yes. Nevada, in the top 25, even though they were predicted to be there and had a very good tournament last year. And another one, you crushed the Caps for 30 years, and you're shocked when their fans don't like you and their front office won't lend you the Stanley Cup. You crushed the Nats for their entire existence, and you're surprised that their fans don't like you. I haven't crushed the Nats. You crushed Chuck Bell and Melissa Mole, and they kick back, and it's all about you. At least you said it was wonderful, because it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Is that emailer
unfamiliar with the show? It is all know about who you.
From Jolene Wojcik, from Grand Island, Nebraska. I want someone to look at me the way Tony looks at Wendy. Guess I need a pashmina and some red lipstick so that I, too, can look that fabulous. From Bobby Gottfried, let me see if I can clear this up once and for all. You agree that electric cars and cell phones, both of which have batteries, are electric because you plug them into the wall every day. Well, let's just say that before the fine folks at Quip send you their new battery every 3 months, that battery is plugged into the wall to charge. So you don't plug it in, they do. Then rather than have you plug your battery in when it's low, they just send you a new, freshly unplugged battery. Hoping this explanation helped in any small way.
No, it's still witchcraft.
I don't take it.
Yeah, Ryan magic. In Richmond, on the subjects of Little sending their junk to the show, it might be time to update the show slogan. Goodbye, this show stinks. Hello, here, you throw this away.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. For the prize closet. So today I walked in, there were some people in here. I attempted to give away prizes and people said, I don't want them. Yeah. Wow. I don't want, here's a tie. No, I'm retired. I don't wear a tie.
Wow.
No, here's
Why don't you strangle yourself with it?
Here's cookies. No, I don't want them. No, you take them. Yeah. Really?
They don't even want your junk anymore.
Exactly.
From James in Fort Washington, Maryland. Following up on your discussion of a Redskin stadium being built near National Harbor, even though you bemoaned how far that site would be for fans to travel, a quick Google Maps search shows the National Harbor and RFK are both 45 minutes away from Chatter. Excuse me, Mr. Tony, but I believe your snobbery is showing. I join my fellow neighbors in the beautiful and thriving National Harbor area in saying that I can't wait for Chuck Bell to create that snowstorm over your house. Okay.
Wow.
From Carla Corrado.
Getting the solicit treatment.
That's fair.
Sense of theme here.
From Carla Corrado in Columbus, Ohio. Next semester, I am co-teaching a sociology and economics of sports class with 40 students at Otterbein University in Westerville, Ohio. I'm offering extra credit for anyone who can get an email read on your show. What's the over-under on how many students write to you in April when they are panicking about their grades? I fear if I have to be both smart and funny, they will be doomed to the gentleman's see. We'll listen to any good emails.
Sure.
Okay, from Ramsey in Arlington, I'm right-handed. For socks, left first, then right. For shoes, left first, then right. For clipping my nails, left first, then right. For brushing my teeth, bottom left first, then bottom right, then top left, then top right. For flossing my teeth, bottom right first, then bottom left, then top right.
Never floss.
Unbelievable how personal this is.
Yes.
I've never questioned or even noticed that my flossing pattern is wrong until now. Obviously, I can't change the pattern, so now I'm just stuck thinking about why I'm flossing bottom right first instead of bottom left for the rest of my life. Thank you for that. You're very welcome. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
If I wish one of your guys had children, if I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles for you to feel my pain.
Thanks, Mike.
That's the pain I have.
Appreciate
waking up every day.
Thank you.
Shared. Look, let me tell you what happened to me the other day. I opened up my front window, I can see that. An old lady with a camera takes a screen cap of my garden that could probably use a weed hack. She's with the HOA, and we really need that. She likes to meddle, I can tell she wants to cite that. Send a letter in the mail out of spite, that's when I get a little yearn to send a letter in the furnace and a picture of it burning to her right back.
Well, by my front window is a BN. Dama Potiphar's have taught me that. I should harm no living thing, but how do I bring about a rescue circumventing a thing harming me?
I know what you mean about living things, so if they let me be, I let them do the thing. But there's one living thing that I can't stand, Justin Timberlake without Timberland.
Well, all I really know it's just a little perplexing, but there's plenty of other things that get a little bit vexing.
Like what's with the name Tad? I don't want to hear that. Tad is a spinger, a touch, or a fracture.
I'm sitting in chairs where you could be standing.
69th Express, I'm standing.
Why is my car now turning orange?
I'm seriously gonna make me rhyme something with orange.
Orange? Really? Orange. This is a rap album. And on a rap album, things are supposed to rhyme. And you come up with orange? Let me tell you what rhymes with orange. Let me see, let me think.
Nothing rhymes with orange! Nothing! Why not just write lyrics in palindromes next time? Or throw in other words that don't have rhymes like silver and purple!
Cause I got one for you. Dangerous. We're sitting down to eat a nice meal, and two couples with a kid serving as a fifth wheel. Sit by our table, though the parents are able, they let kid run around, scream, and squeal. Restaurants should have no children's sections where decent folk can die without being subjected to the kind of behavior that would get an adult arrested. Why is my space so infested?
Speaking of pests, I don't like Japanese beetles. Even the best insurance companies act evil. Greed, I protest, that puts money over people, and I'm upset with ruining endings for sequels.
Well, I don't like when my sleep ends in an instant. In the toilet, I believe I feel an apparition. I'm spooked for the fright and the gloom every night, cause my slumber isn't covered by my creepy ghost children.
New car smell? This is new car hell. A chemical assault for this new car belt.
Damn it, I'm mad. Was that a rat I saw? Rod or even the gay cigar?
Intercoms the bass really made me want to panic.
I told black bald girls in real status.
Wire 9-volt new car sold automatics.
And the start of start for rubbing. I can't stand it. Can't we wrap packages in anything else? I'd rather have a broken product arrive in the mail than have to listen to that sound. And you know what else I hate? Decorative pillow shams. Take off of the bed before sleeping in it.
see them using news as entertainment. So confused, get deluded by the vacant. To sell space, they confuse and get away with it. The other day, I was trying to read a statement about why things are growing rapacious. As I clicked the main thought, I was assaulted by an article with a query on slaughterhouse and hanging.
Or the camera pass, but I think that this kind of set, I don't have one. Another thing goes, I find a scratching push by Kato's in a bore. I don't know what happened. Destination weddings, cultural theme, public marriage proposal, egocentricity, Facebook posts every time you have to pee. I don't need to know everything about Eugene.
Casseroles, corn, all corn in a clothes, gazebos, new coke, flavored Oreo.
Did three graduations, what is this dumb thing? Let's read a celebrate, do we've accomplished something?
There's nothing unlucky about the number 13.
Perfume, cologne, I must just get clean.
Rhubarb, phone trees, maybe more to scream.
Stop saying we, you're not on the team. Here's the deal. Number one, your fandom is an accidental byproduct of your having been born in your city. That's it. Number two, these players are not your friends. They're not awakened by wondering if Kevin is going to get that raise or Kathy is going to get into grad school. Number three, this is their job. Have you ever worked in a different organization than you do now? Well, guess what? Because they signed with a different team in a different city does not mean they abandon you. They don't even know you exist. Number four, your self-worth is not determined by other people's accomplishments. I can't even believe I have to say that out loud. Number five, this is a TV show. It's entertainment. When watching Law & Order reruns, do you ever say we when talking about the prosecutor?